the day is underway in Egypt. Protesters already gathering in Cairo's Liberation Square in large numbers. Now, Friday is expected to be a day of mass action, calling for the Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak to step down. It's the 18th day of demonstrations. These could be the biggest yet. People there, as you can see, already gathering in Liberation Square in downtown Cairo, the focal point of nationwide protests against the president. Now, Mubarak stoked shock, anger and disappointment after he rejected calls to immediately hand over power. Let's bring you a quick recap of the latest developments. The president said in a speech late on Thursday that he will not resign until September presidential elections. Instead, he said he'll transfer many of his powers to Vice President Omar Suleiman. US President Barack Obama said that the changes need to be explained and that more needs to be done for democracy to be achieved. And the military command is meeting without Mubarak on Friday. According to the state news agency, the military is going to be issuing an important statement. We will, of course, bring you that statement as we hear it. Well, our correspondent Hoda Abdelhamid is overlooking Liberation Square. Hoda, the mood there after yesterday's downfall from the jubilant scenes we saw to one of shock and disappointment.
Absolutely. I would say that after the speech, I saw all these people who were so jubilant, anticipating that maybe he would announce his resignation, leave with their flags wrapped around them, their head bowed to the floor. There were no sounds anymore emanating from the square. It was really an anti-climax. And I have to tell you today, I think the mood is one of anger and defiance, a mixed bag. The square is unusually full for this time of the day, more so it's Friday morning, it's before prayer time, and if we look at the pattern over the past few weeks, it's after prayer that actually most of the people made their way. It seems today people have decided to come here before. I have to say also that a lot of people spent the night on the square, not those in the tents, but a lot of people actually just laid on the floor in the dust and spent the night there.
Hoda, we have been hearing reports of a number of protesters camping out at the, or going to the presidential palace. It appears that there is more of a plan to get people moving in that direction. What would be the significance of that if it does get underway?
Well, from what we understand, it is underway, but I cannot confirm it. However, people here told me that several of the protesters did make their way there since last night. I don't know how far they reached, or how close, rather, they reached the presidential palace. But that was an immediate reaction to the speech of both the president and the vice president. Immediately after, they were called for protesters to go around government buildings. Some of them were heading towards a television building, trying to make sure that today, Friday, the employees there don't reach inside the building. Others were heading towards the residential presidential palace. And I think this is quite significant. It is another sign of defiance, just because I think at the core of all this is a complete lack of trust in whatever statement comes out from the presidency, whether it's the president or the vice president.
But you say defiance there, and that's clearly the right word. They've dubbed today Farewell Friday. But one has to wonder at what the momentum is for these protesters, because they are continually disappointed.
Certainly, they are continuing disappointed, and we have to also see what is the wider reaction across Egypt to the speeches. Some people will definitely tell you, well, look, he delegated his powers to the vice president. The way the constitution is at the moment means that he is the only one who can oversee these constitutional amendments, which includes the articles about presidential election and the lifting of the emergency law. So what do they want now? So certainly we have to see what will happen today. especially among the factory workers and the unions, those who actually decided to join in the protest, calling for different things like better wages and better working conditions. But we'll just have to see. Some of the protesters here told me that speech was exactly the same as always, meaning that it was meant to divide and rule. They also said that they also noted that the president went back to the rhetoric about foreign pressure, and that he would not bow to foreign pressure to leave his presidency. He said he doesn't take orders from anyone, and that is a very good rallying point, because Egyptians are very, very sensitive to foreign intervention. So I think today is a key day to understand whether the protesters here kept the momentum and whether the president did manage to convince some of the Egyptian people.
Hoda, many thanks for that update. You're watching live pictures there of Liberation Square, downtown Cairo. Protesters gathering once again ahead of a day of mass action. Well, let's move on now to our other correspondent, Andrew Simmons, also in Cairo. Andrew, there's moves on the military side. We've heard they've been meeting. What more do we know about that?
Well, absolutely. The Armed Forces Supreme Council has been in session, we're told, and Field Marshal Hussein Tantawi chairing that meeting. We understand President Mubarak not present as he would be normally. They met yesterday. They issued a statement in which the whole country started to feel that the departure of Mubarak was underway, and that started the whole surge towards the square. Now, we're not sure what this meeting will amount to. There needs to be clarification without any shadow of doubt about the exact position of who is in control right now on what is the way forward, because the momentum now for the protesters is rolling at a very high speed, lots of energy, definitely completely back together in terms of focus, numbers and resolution. This was the mood in the square last night when the announcement was made by the president.
A multitude of faces dropped as the president said he was delegating his powers to Omar Suleiman. It simply isn't enough. The feverish anticipation here was ecstatic ahead of the speech. Now it's one of, well, depression, even anger. Let's speak to some of the protesters. What did you make of it?
He's just been a low life. He doesn't give a damn about his people. He should have just left. That's what the people looking for. That's what they need.
He should have left.
Yeah, he doesn't care about what we want. We want him to leave. It's clear. He has to leave. We don't want him to give his power to his vice president. We want him to leave. We want the whole regime to be out. That's it.
What will happen next, you think?
I think they have to go his castle, just to drag him out of it, just to throw him out. We gave him too many chances to leave. He just doesn't want to listen.
Is this mood getting angry?
Yes, people are very angry now, and they're thinking to move to the palace to take him out from there. And they determined they're going to stay here. They're going to stay on the protest until he's out. It's clear. He has to leave.
Thank you very much indeed. And so you hear there the mood of anger, resentment, and it appears a steely determination to carry on. It's been 17 days now, and this could go on a lot longer. And the mood, it's just pivoted, spun completely. Quite extraordinary scenes here in Tahrir Square.
Andrew, as you just reported there, widespread belief that Mubarak would step down Thursday night, not just within Egypt, but outside of Egypt too. The US President Barack Obama suggesting that history was about to be in the making. He then had to issue a very different statement. So tell us a bit more about that.
Yeah, and the strongest yet. There's no doubt that the US thought that Mubarak was all but gone. The head of the CIA thought he was standing down. And then that defiant, delayed speech in which Mubarak attacked foreign intervention, a clear snub to the US. Not yet meaningful or sufficient, said the president of the USA. And he also called for a clear message to be spelled out to the Egyptian people, one that's unambiguous. And he called for the government to immediately set out the stall on what it plans to do in clear terms. But we're going to have the military speaking first, it seems. And that's expected. That statement from the Supreme Council is expected within the next 2 hours, before Friday prayers. What effect will that have? Will it be an effective coup? Well, the people here really want that, it would seem. Talking to many, many people in the square Thursday night, I was told categorically, that's what we want. We trust the army. We want the army to step in for an interim period before elections. Of course, there are complications with the constitution, but they really want that to happen. They do not trust Suleiman, the vice president. He came out with words that really angered the crowds, as much as Mubarak, really. As you know, as Mohammed al-Baradei has said, he regards the vice president and the president as twins. So we have a situation now where this vice president is not trusted. You know, he's going to be added to the names, to the name that is on the list of, to go. And you have a situation now where there is a real thirst for the army to take control. Because remember, this has been an army state for more than 30 years, right back to 1952. It is the military own about a third of Egypt. It's an institution, a massive institution. It's not, when you hear that somebody would want the military to take over, you might think, well, goodness gracious, that's a major step. But here, there's a real thirst for it. So all eyes watching now, Egyptian state TV and state radio, to hear what that military council has to say. And then, of course, we have these demonstrations, not only in Tahrir Square, but also at the parliament buildings, at the state TV, we hear there are hundreds there gathering. The numbers outside the presidential palace, we're not absolutely sure of right now, but certainly about 2,000 people went there last night and were camping out, an orderly gathering. There are demonstrators all over Egypt this day, Friday, going to go for what they consider the final push. They believe they're nearly there, despite the language of their president in his address to the nation Thursday night. There is a feeling now that this revolution could actually get to its goal, imminently. Now, whether that's going to be completely vanquished again, whether the mood will go up and down, it's really like a roller coaster in Egypt right now. It's unpredictable, it's tense, and the regime has not spelled out clearly what it's going to do, what it sees as the way forward. Mubarak's language was similar to the previous addresses he's made to the nation. Some concessions, yes, he was talking about the martyrs, he called them, the people who had died. He was relating to the protesters on one hand, then taking it away with another. And one very, very noticeable point from this 82-year-old president was when he referred to when he was young in his speech. There was a major, major chant in the crowd when he said that, because the vast majority of the people in that square have lived under nobody other than the president. They are the Mubarak generation. They want him out, and they will not give up until he goes. That is absolutely certain in Cairo on this morning.
That is. That's one of the few certainties we have this Friday day of mass action. Andrew Simmons, thanks very much for updating us there from Cairo. Well, as we've been reporting, many protesters had expected a speech of resignation on Thursday night, but Mubarak made it clear that he planned to stay in the role until September presidential elections. Let's bring you now some of what he had to say.
I announced in very plain, unequivocal words that I will not run the coming presidential elections. Satisfied with what I have offered to the nations for over 60 years in the time of war and peace. I announced that I will adhere to this position, and I also announced that I will similarly remain adamant to continue to shoulder my responsibility, protecting the Constitution, safeguarding the interests of the people until the authority and power is handed over to this to be elected by the people in September coming in the fair and free elections, where all the guarantees for transparency and integrity will be secured. This is the oath I have taken before God and before the nation.
Well, we heard just a little earlier from Andrew Simmons, who was in the square on Thursday night. Let's hear now from another of our correspondents, Eamon Mohyeldin, who gave us his account of the reaction of the protesters to Mubarak's speech in Liberation Square.
Well, for the tens of thousands who had gathered in Liberation Square to watch what they thought was going to be history in the making, that of President Hosni Mubarak perhaps stepping down from power, it turned out to be a very disappointing evening, because the president did not resign, did not step down. At best, he delegated some of his powers to the vice president, but many say that is falling short in meeting the demands of the protesters. Very interesting enough, though, the transfer of power itself has created some confusion as to exactly how powerful or how much authority will be delegated to the vice president. It's still going to emerge in the coming hours, perhaps in the coming days, what role the vice president is going to play. You can rest assured, though, that protesters all across the country that have been demanding President Mubarak step down will find the measure again as just a half measure, not going the full distance. In terms of the vice president's comments, well, he spoke shortly after the president and once again made similar comments that we've been hearing, that there are foreign elements involved, and he encouraged Egyptians not to listen to satellite channels or news channels that he believed were trying to incite fear and sectarianism within Egypt, and again trying to encourage the protesters to simply go home and go back to work in a very dismissive manner. All of this happening while the Egyptian military sending out some confusing signals as to what role it is expected to play, because we heard from the Supreme Council of the Armed Forces, they had originally come out saying that they were going to convene regularly and at the same time were going to take the interests of the people on board. And so it gave people the impression that perhaps the military was going to emerge in all of this as a caretaker, perhaps some institution that is more responsible for the day-to-day affairs of the country. That also did not materialize. So there are a lot of mixed signals. At the end of the day, though, it can all be summed up in that the protesters were extremely disappointed, but you can certainly bet that this evening is going to galvanize protesters ahead of Friday's prayers and afterwards, because people have been demanding that Friday be a day of great demonstrations all across the country. They're hoping to bring out about 20 million people across the entire country, and you can bet that based on the reaction today, those people have been energized to go back to the streets once again and demand that President Hosni Mubarak step down from power.
Well, as Andrew Simmons mentioned just now, one of the biggest questions surrounding the situation in Egypt is how the military will act following Thursday's developments. In just a moment, we'll speak to Mahjoub Zuwairi, who is in our studio with us, to talk a bit more about the military. Now, the Supreme Council of the Armed Forces gathered for only the third time on Thursday, third time in its history. But crucially, they met without Mubarak or Vice President Omar Suleiman. The Chief of Staff of the Armed Forces, Lieutenant General Sami Hafez Annan, had also visited protesters in Liberation Square and suggested their demands would be met. And despite some allegations of violence, the military has been largely peaceful in managing large crowds. But questions do remain over whether that will continue as Suleiman renews calls for an end to demonstrations. So Mahjoub Zuwairi is a professor in contemporary for being with us. Now, we've just heard from our correspondent, Andrew Simmons, that the army, the military, will be issuing a statement within the next 2 hours ahead of Friday prayers. One would expect this would to be a statement that they would hope would calm the protesters ahead of this day of mass action.
I see two possible scenarios. The first scenario, which linked to the statement made by Omar Suleiman last night, or midnight actually, when he said that he's very proud of the role of military in what is going on. And that statement was very clear that he is actually approved the role of military in this political movement in Egypt. So what I expect, which leads me to the second scenario, that the military command may issue a statement says, look, the president has delegated all of his responsibilities to Omar Suleiman. He's in charge. We support him. And they may call Omar Suleiman to form a kind of autocrat, a government of autocrat, to lead the transition towards in 6 months towards an elections, presidential elections or a parliament elections. The problem is, if this scenario which is suggested by the military, I'm not sure that people will accept it. Mm. That, because basically they are against Omar Suleiman as well.
And of course, crucially, we must remember that the powers that Mubarak has transferred to Suleiman miss out. Crucial.
Yes, we are not aware actually which kind, how much, what yeah. What is the nature of that responsibilities? What is the level he can maneuver? What is the level of responsibility? What's the level of decision he can make? We don't know yet. It's fake actually. This kind of delegation, the responsibility, it's fake. When I was looking at trying to find something in hand, it's very difficult. But I think maybe one of the things Mubarak thinks of is actually not repeating Ben Ali's scenario. He just wants to do things gradually. He wants to delegate this kind of responsibility, keep it fair, and then disappear gradually from the political scene. One of the important points here is that the United States itself, and takes me to the role of the United States, is actually they are interested to see this kind of gradual transition because they don't know yet who is the good man for the next stage. And I think they are monitoring things to and make sure that all of these changes lead to a new leadership, which can also help the United States in its policies in the region.
The army has very close ties to the U.S.
Absolutely.
Look at the huge amount of aid that the
yes.
U.S. gives.
Yes, and they are trained, actually. Most of those now, the military command, they were trained in the United States. And basically, I think if you go back to the first or second day of this revolution, President Obama made it very clear that we rely on the role of military. So basically, they are aware that the military can play an important role. Keep in mind, I mean, this is I see there is kind of exaggeration, but let's be very, I would say, realistic on discussing the role of military. Military cannot create democracy. Hmm. Military can protect democracy, can support democracy.
Is there a role for the military in an interim, for an interim period? And if so, who would be the man to lead that interim period? We're seeing the defense minister taking quite a leading role, Tantawi. He's yeah. leading this meeting today.
Yes. Yeah.
Would he be the man to take charge?
The problem, I think so, because basically there is kind of acceptance by people, but it depends who will be working with Ghazali. If he brings, for example, people from the political party now, which is actually Egyptian, they hate it, the ruler of the political party, it will be a problem. It depends on how he will nominate his cabinet or who will be working with him. Because basically, I don't see that Egyptians on the Tahrir Square will accept Omar Suleiman as a leader, for interim, for next 6 months, for example.
The military is going to be very reluctant, surely, to give up its influence. I mean, it's had influence
in
the government
I think
decades.
this statement, which we expect now, will lead us to, will show us how much the military is able to choose and make a very tough decision. Because basically, this is the time to say, you know, we are with or against. I think this statement will get us close to that moment, and then we'll see exactly, will give us more clear, I would say, vision or what's going to happen in the next few hours at least. I can't say for a few days, but for the next few hours.
And of course, the more cynical will see the military as protecting its own interests. It's not interested in the people. It's got huge economic interests.
Absolutely.
In
but they say, but also they say, you know, our interest, the people's interest. This is how they present themselves. So basically, we have, at the end of the day, people, they need to rely on source of power. Source of power now, the people in the street needs to rely on is actually the military. They don't have any other options, and they have to be very stuck with that until they achieve their goals.
Majid Tawari, for the moment, thanks very much. Don't go away, we will come back to you throughout the day. But we can now cross over to one of the protesters who's preparing to head back down to Liberation Square. Dr. Karim has been in Tahrir Square, attending to the injured for much of the time during these protests. He joins us on the line from Cairo. First of all, tell us, why are you heading back to the square today?
The protest, we have started and we long won't stop, as you said from the beginning.
Sorry, I'm not hearing you terribly clearly. I'm just going to try asking you the question again of why you're heading back to the square today, what you expect to happen. Okay, we appear to have lost comms with Dr. Karim, who is heading down to the square. Live pictures there of the scene in the square this Friday morning. a couple of hours ahead of Friday prayers, a day of mass action, a day that the protesters have dubbed Farewell Friday. We can now join our correspondent, Charles Stratford. He's just outside state television. Charles, tell us what the scene is there.
Just to correct you there, Laura, I'm not actually directly outside state television for security reasons, but I can confirm that certainly as I look around the corner from where I am now, I can see hundreds of protesters gathering outside that building. It's heavily fortified and has been throughout the last 2 weeks. A lot of tanks, a lot of heavy machine guns actually up on the balconies of the building, a big military presence. But it seems as if really, yes, there are certain protesters or big groups of protesters that obviously one would presume that after last night's announcement by the president have decided to focus more on the TV building. We have reports that it's actually the first time that there have been these protests out there. But as I say, it's difficult to confirm numbers at the moment. But it's an indication, I think, of yes, that the protesters taking their stance to certainly other areas of the city in and around Tahrir. We had the Parliament building a couple of days ago, but the television station is a different focus, and potentially, obviously, a very important one if they are indeed trying to close down any kind of state TV channels.
Indeed, they are gathering at these crucial sites in apparent defiance of the army, which has gathered there. But they appear to have been emboldened by their anger yesterday that Mubarak did not step down.
Well, I was in the square about an hour ago, and the atmosphere was incredible. There was no sense of any sense of potentially standing down. As we know, every concession they've been given in the last week or so has been seen as a small victory, and last night was a massive slap in the face to them. It's a Friday today. Traditionally, we'll have Friday prayers. It's become a day in the last few weeks of protest. We're expecting massive numbers. No, they are. They are not going anywhere. There was no real anger in the square, but far from it. There was a lot of celebration. There's a lot of music, chanting, drums. Their demands, they're standing by. We will wait and see what happens in the next few hours, certainly after Friday prayers.
Indeed, Charles, thanks very much. Perhaps we can try and get some idea of what might happen. We can try and go back to one of the protesters, Dr. Karim. Dr. Karim, can you hear me now? I'm just wondering what you're expecting to happen today.
We are going out. We are going to protest until we leave, inshallah.
Now, we're expecting to hear from the military within a couple of hours. We're expecting to hear before Friday prayers. What might they say to please the crowds?
Really, I don't know. I'm just waiting since yesterday night. We're just all waiting. We are hoping they will remove him. They will take him out and maybe we'll have... They will charge us for 6 months or something until we have an election, the free election.
Give us an idea of your sense of shock, of disappointment, as you stood in the square and watched and listened to President Hosni Mubarak's speech live, broadcast on state television.
We are all shocked. He said nothing. He did nothing. People are out there for 15 or 17 days now, and he did nothing for us.
Today has been dubbed Farewell Friday. What expectations do you have that he will resign today?
We hope he resigns, or we'll force him to resign. You know, like he has been ruling us for 30 years and nothing happened. What is he expecting to do in 6 months?
But as you say, you've been on the street for 18 days. You've had these points where you have expected to hear him stepping down. They haven't happened. You've had a lot of disappointment. How are you keeping the momentum going?
It was from the start. The slogan was, we have started and we won't stop. People are there, people are going and coming back, people are not always over there, you know, like some go home to sleep, some come back, some sleep over in Tahrir Square, some singing, some... we're enjoying, you know, we have to keep the momentum. We have Sunday, Tuesday, Friday, we can do it every day, but we have to protest all the days, of course, you know, but it has to be like... a sort of life. You can't be always protesting every day in the same motions. No, but you have to help yourself. Some have to rest, some have to continue. That's what we're doing. And we succeed, inshallah.
Dr. Karim, thank you very much. Dr. Karim, a protester heading down to the pictures, to Tahrir Square, the pictures that you're seeing live on your television. He's going to be joining the throngs of people there on Friday's day of mass action. You're watching Al Jazeera. We're bringing you all the very latest as events develop in Egypt. Well, pro-democracy supporters had camped out in Cairo's Liberation Square on Thursday night for what they had hoped would be good news of Mubarak's resignation, but that was not to be, as Alan Fisher reports.
They checked the newspapers to see if it was really true. Their expectations had been raised, only to see them crash. For many in the square, they couldn't quite believe President Mubarak hadn't quit.
He made the Egyptian people sleep sad. Mubarak wants Egypt to be destroyed.
As Thursday drew to a close, Cairo was swamped with rumour, fed from high-placed sources. The president was going to go. The victory party started. Every face in the crowd turned to the big screens for his speech.
I announced that I will similarly remain adamant to continue to shoulder my responsibility, protecting the constitution, safeguarding the interests of the people until the authority and power is handed over to this to be elected by the people in September coming. I have seen that it is required to delegate the powers of and authorities of the president to the vice president as per the constitution.
Before he'd even finished, the crowd's fury was clear. Al Jazeera's Jackie Rowland was there.
Well, the people on Tahrir Square have voted with their shoes. This is not what they came to hear tonight. They're disappointed at Mubarak and they're also very angry.
They are playing with us. They are not dealing with us as an honest government.
All these people, all these protests, standing here for like 16 days and just nothing happened. All promises, all promises.
The man with the power, the vice president, told protesters they were getting nothing more.
I call on the youth of Egypt, the youth and the heroes of Egypt. Go back home. Go back to your work. The country needs your hands. Let's join hands to build, develop, in creativity.
In Liberation Square, the chants, the protests have already begun. Tens of thousands are expected to join the biggest demonstration yet. Each day in Egypt, history is being written, and this chapter is not yet complete. Alan Fisher, Al Jazeera.